This morning I'm preaching from 2 Kings 8:16 through chapter 10. Three chapters. And the historic scene with God's people has an important principle that's woven into it. And it's what God wants from you, his child in Christ. Think of yourself as that. He's the Father. He wants things from his children. And it all involves a stewardship. It's a responsibility that God has for us. Now, when you get God's word, when you learn God's word, you have it with you for life. And that is your stewardship. I preached last week on God's word having purposes beyond ours. So as you go to God's word, go realizing that he has specific purposes for everything in it. He has principles, he has precepts, he has examples, he has illustrations for you to apply to your life. And his purpose is for them to be used by you. Use it. And God wants you to be quick to do what his word says, to instantly and consistently walk in it. But there's more. God wants you to make it the number one priority. And he wants it to be your ambition. And God wants us to be zealous about it. So prepare your heart for this sermon, which is meant to exhort us with this very important direction. Be quick, decisive, and zealous to do God's word. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that we be this, quick, decisive, and zealous to do your word, and that you move us by your Holy Spirit according to your word to learn and to engage with this truth that you implant in us and use it for your glory as part of what this whole sermon is about. We ask this for your Son's glorious name, Jesus. Amen. Now, the setting for our lesson is about 3,000 years ago, and God's Old Covenant people were divided into two kingdoms, and this had happened for generations. The kingdom of the north was called Israel. Though in covenant with God, North Israel was immersed in idolatry and rebellion against God. The kingdom of the south was Judah. Now, Judah was not perfect, but there was a king, Jehoshaphat. He had become king. And he was a godly man. He was known to be quick and zealous to do God's word. And Jehoshaphat led the southern kingdom of Judah in godliness. He was known for this. 2 Chronicles 17:3 through 6 says, Jehoshaphat did not seek the Baal gods, but sought God and obeyed his commands. That's Yahweh, the one true God. He did this, it says, unlike the Israelites of the north. So the Israelites got the south. And it says Jehoshaphat was committed to following the Lord. And he sent teachers throughout the whole kingdom of Judah to educate the people about God's word. In that time, God's Mosaic Covenant law. And up in the northern kingdom of Israel, evil King Ahab had died. But his sinful family and his sinful influence remained to taint this whole land. And his wicked wife Jezebel was still alive. She's living in the palace. And now their son, evil Joram, reigned as king. And at this time, in the southern kingdom of Judah, godly Jehoshaphat was replaced by a compromiser, his sin-chasing son known as Jehoram or Southern Jehoram. And the problem is that Jehoram of the south had adopted the ways of the backsliding, idolatrous northern kingdom of Israel. He was known for being quick and zealous to depart from God's word, what we don't want to do. And he married evil King Ahab's daughter from the northern kingdom. And she only served to help him wander away from the godly influence of his own father, Jehoshaphat. And the compromise spread. His son, Ahaziah, became king. And instead of being quick and zealous to do God's word like his grandfather, Jehoshaphat, Ahaziah adopted the same compromising problem of his father, doing evil. And the record is precise about the influence of his mother-in-law, Jezebel, up in Israel. We are told Ahaziah, the southern king, pursued evil because he was a son-in-law of Ahab's family up in the northern kingdom. And this shows us a problem identified in 2 Corinthians 6. God's word calls it being unequally joined in fellowship with an unbeliever. And God's word warns us about it, warns you about it. A little purified water does not make dirty water turn into clean water. But on the other hand, a little bit of dirt always makes purified water become tainted. And so think about the ungodly influence, the taint on the sons of righteous Jehoshaphat. By marrying an evil child of the devil, his in-law, King Joram of the north, the son of Jezebel, had his hands in Ahaziah's life to manipulate and kill and steal and destroy. And so this is the way we see these things. And so we understand that God's word goes on in 2 Corinthians 6, and it says, separate yourselves from unbelievers. Get away from them. That's what separate means. Well, Ahaziah was bound together, yoked with ungodliness, going the opposite way from being quick and zealous to pursue God's word. Now, one day, King Ahaziah in the south allied in a war to help out his in-law, King Joram of the north. They were going to go to war against the Arameans. And so they did, and during the battle, King Joram got wounded. So he went to his city to heal, and King Ahaziah decided he's going to go visit Joram while he's healing. And during this time, a man who was quick, decisive, and zealous to do God's word, that's what we want to be, right? Well, this man was being used by God, and he was the prophet Elisha. And Elisha told a prophet protege of his to take his flask of anointing oil and go to the town where the battle had been taking place, because soldiers were still there. And Elisha told the prophet messenger, look for a commander named Jehu. And Elisha told the man to go into the city and have Jehu get up from among his companions and bring him to an inner room of the building that they would be sitting outside of. And Elisha said this, then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord. That's the word of God. Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. And then open the door and run. That's what the scripture says. Elisha told him, you need to open the door and you need to run. And so the prophetic messenger was like we all need to be. He's quick, he's decisive, he's zealous to do God's word. So he rushed to this place, which is called Ramoth Gilead. And he found the commanders of Joram's army sitting together outside a building. And he said to Commander Jehu, I have a word for you, meaning the word of God for you. So Jehu got up. They both went into this house. Everyone's sitting outside. And then Elisha's messenger wasted no time. He poured the oil on Jehu's head and he said, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike the house of Ahab your master, so that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the entire house of Ahab shall perish, and I will eliminate from Ahab every male person, both slave and free in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam and like the house of Baasha. The dogs will eat Jezebel in the territory of Jezreel, and no one will bury her. Wow. Well, this prophecy was fulfilling the word of God to Elijah, not Elisha, but Elijah years earlier. And so Elisha, who's anointed Jehu, according to his calling to fulfill Elijah's place according to God's word, he's there, and after giving the messenger opened the door, and what do you think he did? He ran off. He's following the word of God. And Jehu was a man who was quick, decisive, and zealous to do God's word. So Jehu goes back outside. All these commanders of King Joram are out there, taking a little break from the war. And one of them asked, is everything okay? And this is also in the scripture. Why did this crazy guy come to you? That's what it says. And Jehu said, you know what kind of man he is and the kinds of things he says. So they knew he was a prophet, and they knew he was from the prophets, and the kinds of things the prophets speak are the words of God. And so a commander said back, well, but we don't know what he said. So tell us. And Jehu let them know. He said to me, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then an amazing demonstration of being quick and zealous to do God's word was seen with all those men. Because now, remember, they were serving Joram. But now, instantly after hearing God's word, verse 9:13 says, they hurried. And they hurried, and each man took his garment and put it under Jehu on the bare steps, kind of like a walkway, and they blew a trumpet saying, Jehu is king. They were quick, decisive, instantly zealous to do God's word. That's what the Lord wants us to be. And now Jehu was quick to be about the Lord's business against Joram according to God's word. Jehu got in a chariot, and he had a company of warriors with him, and they headed to Jezreel where Joram was in bed recovering. Now remember, Ahaziah, the king of Judah, he's from the south, but he's up there in Jezreel in the north in Israel. He's visiting his in-law, Joram, while he's healing. Now, there at Jezreel, the watchman on the tower saw the company of Jehu coming in the distance, and he told King Joram. And so Joram orders his horsemen to go out, meet the approaching group, and ask them if their intention was peace. They still don't know exactly who they are yet. So a horseman goes out to them and he said, this is what the king says. Is your intention peace? And Jehu said to the messenger, how is peace any business of yours? Turn and follow me. So the messenger followed Jehu. The watchman saw this from the tower, so he reported to Joram. The messenger came to him, and he didn't return. So Joram sent a second horseman. This messenger said the same thing. This is what the king says. Is your intention peace? And then Jehu answered the same way. How is peace any business of yours? Turn and follow me. And he did. And the watchman reported the same thing. He came up to him, but he didn't return. And so the watchman explained that the group that was coming looked like Jehu and his men. So King Joram of Israel and King Ahaziah of Judah decide they're going to go out to meet Jehu in chariots, in their king chariots. And the account points out that they met Jehu on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite, which we will soon see is very significant in respect to God's word. If you remember, I don't know if you might know the story, but King Ahab lusted after Naboth's vineyard property, and his wife Jezebel conspired and had Naboth killed, and Ahab got the property. Well, this is where they met. And so arriving there, King Joram asked Jehu, is your intention peace? And Jehu answered, what peace? As long as your mother Jezebel's acts of prostitution and witchcraft are so many. And so now wounded King Joram realized the situation. So he turned quickly to go back. He said to King Ahaziah over in his chariot, there's treachery. And then Jehu shot King Joram with an arrow through his heart and killed him right there in his chariot. And Jehu told his officers, you need to pick up Joram and throw him on the property of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. And then Jehu said this to his officer. Listen to this. Remember when you and I were riding together and his father Ahab, that the Lord brought this pronouncement against Ahab saying, I have certainly seen the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, declares the Lord, and I will repay you on this property, declares the Lord. So Jehu was there and heard the prophecy that was spoken that day. And so what he was doing when he was saying this to his officer, he's quoting what? The word of God, the word of the Lord. It was from Elijah, from back in 1 Kings 21. So Jehu said, pick him up and throw him on the property in accordance with the word of the Lord. And this is what the sermon is about. Be quick. Jehu was being quick, decisive, and zealous to do the word of the Lord, to fulfill God's word. This is what God puts his spirit in us for. This is why I'm preaching. He wants us to fulfill God's word. And remember, compromising Ahaziah, the king of Judah, he's there. And so he took off, but Jehu pursued him, and he said, shoot him while he's in the chariot. So they shot Ahaziah, and they killed him too. And again, Jehu was being quick, decisive, and zealous to do God's word. That's what you need to be. And so he continued on. He goes to Jezreel, where Joram's palace was. He's seeking God's will, right? He's doing it. He's seeking to walk, to run according to the word of the Lord. Joram's evil mother, Jezebel, is there. And word had been sent to her while all this was going on. Some guys got back to her, and they told her what had just happened that day. So she put on makeup, and she adorned her head with royal adornments. And she looks down from the window of the palace, and as Jehu entered the gate, Jezebel said, is your intention peace, murderer of your master? She didn't realize that Jehu's intention was to be quick, decisive, and zealous to do God's word. And so he looked up toward the window, and he asked, who's with me? Who? And some officials who were there, they looked down to Jehu in confirmation that they no longer supported Jezebel in the old pagan-driven order anymore. So Jehu commanded them, saying, throw her down. And so they threw her down. And some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, it says, and Jehu trampled her body. And when Jehu came into the palace, he said, see now to this cursed woman and bury her, because she is a king's daughter. Well, when they went out to bury her, they found nothing left but the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hands. God's word is living and active, as it says in Hebrews. And God's people, which is us, moved by his word, show its life and show its action when we obey. And that's the same with you. So Jehu quoted God's word, saying, this is the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah, saying, On the property of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel will be like dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel, so that they cannot say, this is Jezebel. And so she did become like dung, because what happens after dogs eat? Yeah. And so Jehu is moving. He's moving in God's word, and he's operating in the stewardship, and he's operating in the responsibility we have as God's people of his word. He didn't mess around. And this is an important point. You run to it. And he ran with it. God's word really is the priority. God's word is the ambition. And our lesson from the Spirit is to look at Jehu's zeal for God's word. And in that zeal, he was so set on doing God's will that it drove him in all of his pursuits. Is God's word driving you in all your pursuits? It needs to be. It's what he wants from you by his Spirit at work in your life. And not only was Jehu moving with quick and decisive zeal to do God's word, he's leading others with it, okay? And so listen to me, very important. This happens when you use your stewardship properly. Your zeal will lead others to it too. You will inspire them. You'll wake them up. You'll be part of God's means to move them. Well, Jehu is not the only man called to be quick, decisive, and zealous in this implementation of God's word across Judah and Israel. Others were too. And it's just that they needed revival. They needed inspiration. They needed leadership. And so now the descendants of the rejectors of God's word, Ahab and his family, were being eliminated. Ahab had died years before. Now Ahab's evil wife, Jezebel, was gone. Just the leftovers that remain in the field. And one of the dozens of prophetic fulfillments hitting one after another is just happening in rapid succession. But Ahab still had 70 sons, and they were over in Samaria. So Jehu sent word to the people of Jezreel in Samaria, saying this, since your master Ahab's sons are with you, plus you have chariots and horses, and a fortified city with weapons, select the best and most capable of your master's sons and seat him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. Jehu was challenging them to put a descendant of Ahab on the throne and then go to battle with himself. But they said, the two kings didn't stand firm before Jehu. How can we? So they sent word to Jehu saying this, we are your servants, and everything you tell us, we will do. We will not appoint any man king. Do what is good in your sight. So Jehu sent them his response. If you're on my side, you know, listen to my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel about this time tomorrow. And so they slaughtered all 70 of the king's sons. And they put the heads in baskets, and they sent them to Jehu. And Jehu had the heads put in two piles at the entrance of the gate until the next morning. That's like 35 heads piled on each side of the gate. Well, the next day, he went out, said to all the people, you are innocent. I conspired against my master and killed him. But recognize who killed all these descendants of Ahab. See, now there's this big going together with God's word. And then he said, know then, nothing from the word of the Lord. This is all about God's word. He said, know then, nothing from the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, shall fail because the Lord has done what he spoke through his servant Elijah. And then Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel. And then Jehu goes to Samaria. And on the way, Jehu encountered the relatives of that other wicked king, the one he killed, Ahaziah of Judah. 40 of them, they're just traveling out in the middle of nowhere. He comes up to them. And what they told him was where Ahaziah's relatives were going down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen mother. They're going down to Judah. Well, what's Jehu doing? He's going in God's word. And they were not. And this is the way it is with those who compromise God's will and way. They go along thinking things are fine, but they're deceived. That caravan thought that being relatives of Ahaziah were credentials of importance. And instead, they were confessing to their demise. And so they experienced a death sentence right there. Jehu had them all slaughtered. And then Jehu had encountered Jehonadab. He's out there. He is a man who is quick, he's decisive, and he's zealous to do God's word. Jehu asked Jehonadab, is your heart right, just as my heart is with your heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. And Jehu pulled Jehonadab up into his own chariot. And then listen to what he said, because this is absolutely, this is one of those kind of verses in the Bible that is just beautiful as a life verse. And this really speaks. He said this. Jehu says to Jehonadab, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." That's an amazing statement. He didn't say, "Come with me and see my zeal to be king." So here's what I want to say right now. Do people see you as having zeal for the Lord? Can you say then, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord"? Or are you completely far from that in your life? And so if you've ever wondered what kind of friend to be, if you've ever wondered what kind of friends the Lord wants you to fellowship with, look for those Christians who have zeal for the Lord. Be that person. When you yoke there, when you join there, that's a yoke and a joining of relevant blessing. It's God's will. Now with Jehu, he had Jehonadab ride in his chariot, and when Jehonadab and Jehu got to Samaria, they killed all who remained who were associated with Ahab. As it says, according with the word of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. And this is the thing about this. Your stewardship is always about being quick according to the word of the Lord. Our stewardship is always about being decisive according to the word of God. And this is where you want your zeal for the Lord to shine. That's what people see. And so Jehu lived like this. Well, next, Jehu had a plan. He's going to trick people into thinking he's a Baal worshiper to see who would follow him in that evil direction. Jehu was using a tactic, a kind of tactic in what we would call the art of war. There was a book written that was called The Art of War. This is a tactic. And he didn't read that book, of course, but he told all the people, this is what he told them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but I, Jehu, will serve Baal much." And so Jehu's deception was this, telling everyone he was being quick, decisive, and zealous for the false god Baal because he knew that those who truly were would love it. They would love it. Oh, yeah, this king is really an awesome Baal worshiper, the pagans would be thinking, those in rebellion against God. So Jehu said, "Summon to me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshipers, all his priests, because I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever's missing will not live," he said. But they didn't know that Jehu's plan was to eliminate the worshipers of Baal. Jehu said, "Proclaim a holy assembly for Baal." And all the worshipers of Baal came from throughout all of Israel. And the temple of the false god was completely packed with people. Jehu said, "Bring garments for all the worshipers of Baal." And then Jehu entered the Baal temple, and he said to the Baal worshippers, "Search carefully to make sure that none of the servants of the Lord are here, but only worshippers of Baal." See, Jehu didn't want worshippers of the one true God being mistaken for apostates, those who were turned away from God. And next we're going to see why. Jehu put 80 soldiers outside to kill the Baal worshippers. As soon as Jehu finished offering the burnt offering, which was not the great sacrifice, but it was a burnt offering, Jehu said to his men, "Go in and kill all of them." And so they killed all the false God-worshipping traitors against the one true God. Now remember, when Jehu gathered everyone to implement his plan, he originally announced that he had a great sacrifice for Baal. Well, the great sacrifice was all the people who had been committing spiritual adultery against the Lord. Their false God did not bless them. They were doomed by their own hands in rejecting the one true God of all. They departed from God's word. Well, next, Jehu's men ransacked this whole pagan temple, and they symbolically, practically, they made it into an outhouse, a toilet, a latrine. And verse 28 says, "So Jehu eradicated Baal from Israel." And it was because he was quick, he's decisive, he's zealous to do God's word. However, there are more lessons. Jehu allowed the two golden calves that Jeroboam, who started the northern Israel kingdom, the first king, Jeroboam misled Israel by making these golden calves. Jehu let them stay erected in Bethel and Dan. He should have destroyed them. But his zeal waned. And so what happened? Another lesson. Compromise set in. Compromise set in. See, that's what happens. Compromise. When you're not zealous, when you're not quick, put it to the side, compromise sets in. And it says, Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel. So there you are. He wasn't walking in God's word. It says, the God of Israel with all his heart, by not desisting from the sins of Jeroboam, into which Jeroboam misled Israel. And here's what it says. And so the Lord allowed their enemies to cut off pieces from Israel slowly and use pagan Hazael to defeat them throughout the territory. So maybe you found that you've been neglecting God's word. The Spirit is saying, quickly get back on track. There's no reason to put it off. Make sure you're being decisive and zealous to get it and do it. You've already learned what God's will is on so many things, right? So many things. We just got so much stuff we already know. So make sure that you consistently pursue what you know. You got it. You understand things. Do those. Keep looking for more direction from God's word. Don't stop. Pray that distractions will not trick you to neglect God's word. Don't compromise. When confronted with the decision to go against God's word, don't listen to the temptation. Listen to God's word. Quickly do it in faith that what he says is what he wants from you. He wants his word that you get to be used in your life. Amen? Let's do that.